and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires we call the internets is Joe Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
No, can't talk, eating.
And what? You're the one who said we should start now.
Well, I didn't realize that my daughter would cook me a burger right before we were going to start this here podcast. In our wild tradition of breaking kayfabe, we should say, instead of recording this on a Monday night, we're recording it in the middle of Sunday afternoon.
On one of my days off.
On one of my sick days off, but we'll get to that when we talk about
it. Does it count as being a day off if I worked until 7 a.m.? I'm looking for a ruling on this. Let's go to they're going to have to run the tape.
The question is, when do you work again?
Tomorrow.
Okay, then it is a day off. See, now, if you worked like you normally do, like, okay, I got off at 7 a.m., I'm going to start working again at 1 p.m., no, that would not be a day off.
Okay.
But if you go over 8 hours, it's considered a day off.
So if you go over eight, then I have every day off, because there are times I have 8 hours off between jobs.
That's good enough.
No, it's really not.
Very true. But, you know, hey, you wanted a ruling, you got it. No sense bitching about it now. This ain't like them presidential elections. When we do a ruling here on this show, it stays, no protesting, no complaints. It's absolute.
And much like the presidential election, I have absolutely no say in anything.
Well, you do. You edit this thing, so. I'm sure if I go back and listen to somebody's podcast, we'll get that. And now here's Freaking and Geeking with Joe. And all here's, I got nothing. Okay, well, I'll go on.
Actually, the only thing of yours that I've cut is there were episodes where you would rant about your job, and then like a day or two later, you would go, Corey, could you take that out?
Yeah, and I think I went on a rant once about somebody was upset because I was Facebook friends with someone that they didn't like, and I went off on a good 5 minutes, and you were like, I think I'm going to cut that, and I go, I think you should.
Then there was someone on the show who we would ask a question, and she would just go, huh? And then argue about the fact that she wasn't paying attention. I cut all that out, too. And anytime I say something incredibly stupid, I cut that out.
What did you say?
So that's why some of the episodes are like a minute and a half long.
Oh, yeah. So which? it works good.
So you had go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so here we are, Sunday afternoon. Vikings are playing football, and normally I'd be watching it. But I figured, let's call Corey, and I think one of our... I don't think I've met her yet, but one of your friends come back from Germany, and we started to attack her about, like, you know, did you bring me? Would you bring me? Would you bring me?
And you've met Stephanie. She's at the convention all the time.
I don't think I've actually been introduced.
Yes, you have. The contest, you and her were judges.
What contest?
The Best Dressed Man in Comics contest.
Oh, I don't think I remember
myself
that.
And Lyndon.
I'll have to go check out the tapes. The second time this podcast, we had to run the tapes. So, that's okay. I barely remember who you are. Speaking of who, people,
who
you got to go check out Corey's
you?
Facebook
who,
page.
Who,
He's got
who,
a
who?
Damn nice... I mean, this one, I almost thought we'd take the title away from Greg Ketter as a damn fine, handsome man and give it to Mr. Strode. Where, partake, did you get that photo from?
I was, yesterday, I made a run down to Hot Comics Jordan because I am part of the Twin Cities Geek crew that are gathering up toys and books for underprivileged folks for Christmas. And I had to run a box down to Hot Comics Jordan, stopped in there. They still have the arcade. They moved over like three storefronts. They still have the arcade. They've added new machines. And I didn't really want to spend all day playing video games there like I did a couple years ago because I haven't been home a whole lot the last few, what, months, year, year and a half, 2 years?
Hard to say.
And then I stopped at the Minnesota's largest candy store at Jim's Apple Farm. And in the back of the candy store, which, by the way, Joe, have you been there this year?
I haven't been there in a couple of years.
You need to go because they're getting ready to build on again.
Ooh.
But they have a TARDIS in the back of the store. Sadly, cool. No Jelly Babies. Because
you know,
that
reminds me.
They were all out.
Jelly Babies for Christmas that I have yet to eat. That's okay. They just kind of hang on forever.
Yeah. But I took a picture of myself in the TARDIS.
Cool.
Because I'm the new doctor.
I'd go with that.
Yeah, it'd be about time they had an American doctor. But they had all kinds of candy. We haven't done American foods in a while. They had a candy that you actually sent to me that we could put under American foods. That's right, Joe. They had gravy candy. Hello?
I'm sorry. I'm in shock. I have to go.
It's from this company that puts out all sorts of weird flavored candy stuff and weird sodas. And they had gravy candy. And it tastes just as bad as you would think. Not as bad as the bacon candy, because the bacon candy is just kind of weird. But the gravy candy tastes like gravy with sugar in it.
Dang it, I'm drooling. Oh, God damn, I gotta stop this. I'm ready to quit the podcast and run down to the largest candy store just to pick up some gravy and bacon candy.
But
that
could
be a good combination.
I have to actually go there sometime soon again because I took a picture. They had Rat Bastard root beer. I bought a couple bottles for myself. And you and my son both were like, you need to buy us a six-pack. I'm already driving home. You people need to get faster. But I'll probably go sometime this week, pick up at least 2 6-packs.
You know, and that other store that we gone to, the Blue Sun Soda Shop up in Spring Lake Park, they're expanding too. So they're going to put in more video games, or I should say pinball games specifically, and they need more room for more of the sodas they're getting in. So it looks like Sweet Tooth is the place to be if you're looking for a growing business.
And the other thing the Blue Sun Soda people said is they're going to add candy because their candy section, while interesting, is very small.
Yeah. SML. Small.
So what they're probably going to do is start building up like the Minnesota's largest candy store. They've painted something else on their roof that I did not know, Joe. They are the largest jigsaw puzzle store in the world.
In the world.
And I'm not a jigsaw puzzle guy.
I haven't been in a while.
But I guess what they did, it's like, you know, we've got all this room up top here that we're not using, and they started putting jigsaw puzzles up around the ceiling. And then they have built a special thing where they've got, you pull out the racks, and the jigsaw puzzles are on the racks as well. And then, you know, any place their spare space, they're putting jigsaw puzzles in, especially if it's related to the candy.
Sure.
But I got myself some British candy, some German candy, some Dutch candy, and of course my beloved Zagnut bars.
Didn't somebody say, why didn't you bring me Zagnut bars?
No one said that.
Oh, I thought it was on one of your Facebook comments, like, I need Zagnut!
If there was, I'm not sharing them.
Yes, Corey
no, my
is notorious.
Son asked for Rat Bastard root beer, but I'm a greedy bastard. We all know that.
That is true. The new doctor is a greedy bastard.
Yes.
But that's not what we came to talk about.
No, we're talking about your special announcement last week.
We are?
Yes.
Oh, it hasn't even started yet. I haven't even placed my order for Discount Comic Book Service yet.
But Joe has said that he is going to start cutting back on new comics.
Yeah. My wife and I have decided we're going to try to get our long-term debt taken care of because I want to retire in 8 years, which is the goal. Probably not going to happen, but we'll see what happens. And part of it, you know, is me selling off my vast accumulation of crap on eBay, and the other part is
highly needed collectibles.
Crap. And we'll get to that when we get to my eBay. But there's also, you know, I come to the conclusion, you know, I'm getting this stuff in almost as fast as I'm trying to get it out. And a lot of it, I just want to read. It's just like with VHS and DVDs and movies. I just want to watch it once. If I really, really like it, I'll get me a copy of it and keep it so I can watch it over and over. I can't tell you how many times I've watched Casablanca. Up until the, am I saying it right, the Criterion Collection?
Yes.
Of Hard Day's Night. I had had about 10 different copies of Hard Day's Night, including Blu-ray, including multiple different copies of VHS, because everyone, they'd release it, and here's another 3 seconds added, you know, that type of thing.
How much did they add to Monty Python, The Holy Grail? Wasn't it like 11 or 12 seconds?
And it actually was just a card that said, this is the 11 seconds, I believe. But yeah, I mean, they just did something like that, and, you know, Bruce Campbell's that way with The Evil Dead and Army of Darkness, and hey, you keep buying them, I'll keep making them. So... But they don't do that with comics. You know, comics are kind of like, I get them, I read them, and then I got to stop and think, am I ever going to reread these, or am I going to just turn around and put them in my vast accumulation of crap and never to be seen again? I mean, I don't have the collecting mentality anymore. I don't think I have since my oldest daughter, Dana, was born. That's where I came to the conclusion. You know, there's something more important going on here than having a complete collection of Elf in my comic collection.
You've got a complete collection of Elf?
Not anymore, I don't.
Oh, man.
I think I got the first and last issue because they're, and the one where he's humping a seal, I think. So, yeah, it's to the point, like, if I can't reread it, and it's a conundrum, too, because you're, unlike movies, where I can at least rent it. You can't do that with comics. And there are still some comics that I'm very... Well, I have to decide, you know, do I want to read these? Do I want to keep with these? A good example would be Xander Cannon's Kaiju Max. Absolutely love it. I've supported Xander Cannon ever since he came out with Replacement Gods. I will probably... This might be one of those that I might buy, or I might flip and just buy in graphic novel form. I don't know. And of course I love still going to cons. I love digging through boxes, finding deals. A lot of times, well, you know, I was just looking now. I got about half a dozen beat up 100-page DC from various titles. Tarzan, World's Finest, Superman, Superboy. It's just good reading. You know, we've talked about that in the past where it's like you got the one news story and then they filled it up with reprints. And I think that's how I got exposed to a lot of the older comics that...
You're cutting back.
Yep. And I got to decide what I'm going to buy and want to keep. You know, what do I want to fill my... And I've talked about that almost ad nausea in the last couple shows. I mean, the omnibus that I'm buying, you know, what was the one that just came out? X-Men Volume 2. I bought Volume 1, I got Volume 2. I've ordered Alpha Flight, which isn't coming out till next February. Master Kung Fu, which I've never read. So it's kind of like a combination of two things. First of all, have I ever read it? And second, have I read it and I don't have it in my collection and I just want it in book form? So that's kind of what I decide what I want to do. And matter of fact, as long as we're talking here, I made the comment last week, you know, that yeah, I'm going to cut back on new comics. But then I said this month's previews has a ton of graphic novels. So it's like, I'm not going to get ahead here. So I'll just kind of run through. It's like Bean World Volume 4 is coming out. Batman Golden Age Volume 2. New Teen Titans Volume 6, the George Perez run that I absolutely love. New Avengers Volume 2. Which is real interesting because Volume 1 was, I believe, solicited the previous month. So they're going to be banging those babies out. Let's see. What else we have? Boys trade paperbacks. I'm trying to finish up. Never read Hellboy. That's one of, that goes under the category books I would like to read. Let's see what else we got. Those are pretty much it. Just all of a sudden, boom, all these trades. So I look closer at the trades, and then I look at which titles I just want to stop. You know, and the ones I'm looking, like Black Hammer from Dark Horse, which I believe is, it might be done, it might be like a season thing. JLA, Wonder Woman. Why? Well, we're up to like issue 10 and I haven't read it yet. ROM from IDW, and I really enjoy it. I guess I'm more nostalgic for the old one, which I do have in my collection. Marvel, Spider-Man, not amazing, but the regular one. Guardians of the Galaxy, Star Wars. I got to look closer at the Doctor Strange Sorcerer Squad or whatever they're calling themselves. And when we get to geeking, I'll talk about some of the titles that I read that some of them are read go like, well, maybe I don't want to read it. I don't know. So, and there's again, there's mini series too that I'll pick up. Skyborn from Boom, because it's Frank Cho.
If he ever puts out another issue.
Yeah, that's true. Rise and Fall of Captain Atom caught my attention in DC. The Unworthy Thor is one that I would catch. Let's see, what are some other ones here? Red Dog from 451 Media. Wonder Woman, Bionic Woman from Dynamite. So again, I might just pick into the miniseries. One thing I do like about it is if I do get a miniseries and I don't like it, the comic sells better than the graphic novel, at least so far on eBay. You know, I have the old Walking Dead comic books and I have the old graphic novels, but to just get rid of them, I just blew them out below cost for the graphic novels. Comics kind of held their own, but that's the thing on eBay. You know, anything new, there's always somebody willing to go cheaper than you for whatever reason. Padding their feedback or just like me, genuinely trying to get rid of their stuff. So that's kind of what I'm looking at going forward. Do you have any inkling like that, Corey, or are you still pretty much a collector?
I've never been a collector. I'm a reader. And the reason I would buy a comic was to read it. And the reason I would file it away is because, well, you take it back to the shop and they'll give you, like, you know, a dime. You know, not a whole lot. Now, one of the things, you know, we've all got these dreams of what we're going to do when we retire. One of the things I'm dreaming about doing when I retire is just open a little storefront and sell off my collection, sell off the books that I've already read, and sell off the comics and everything, and maybe throw it up on eBay, but just a place to go so you have something to do. Because one of the things that I've heard from people who are in their 70s and 80s is once you don't have anything to do is when you start dying. And if you look at me now, I always have way too much stuff to do. I have a feeling that will never, ever stop. My mother, actually, when she retired, said, I have never been this busy in my life.
You know, that's something I thought of, too, as I'm looking at all my accumulation of crap. Yeah, I'm excited when I sell off the expensive stuff or the really rare and valuable stuff. But then I'm also like, well, what does that leave me with? It's going to kind of leave me with
cheese,
the dreck. Yeah, and, you know, most of that I just want to blow out already. You know, my wife's always like, well, what are you going to do when you retire? I said, well, I don't know. So part of me is kind of like, maybe I shouldn't be blowing stuff out on eBay as fast. Maybe I should just let it accumulate. You know, there, I think back there was a black and white issue of Spawn number one that was tied in with another book. And you got, for every 50 copies of the Spawn, you got one of the black and white number one Spawn. And I had one. I picked it up for $2 somewhere. And when I put it on eBay, it was like, holy crap, there's none of them around. They're guided at 200. Okay, started at 200. And one guy emailed me, go, is this really it? Is this what I think it is? If it isn't, can I return it? And then the next letter, I've seen your feedback's fabulous. I just bought it. And he was way happy with it because there are none of them out there. And he started thinking, geez, should I maybe save that? Not because it would go up in value, because maybe that's what I should have sold later on. But again, the other part of me is like, you know what? Get rid of it now. You don't know what's coming tomorrow. eBay may be gone. Something new may have happened. I don't know. So I have some fun with it now and use it to pay my debt off. Damn lottery's not paying off.
And I think one of the things that we should talk about is there's so much stuff out there. And you and I both, we've accumulated a lot of stuff where it's, oh, I'll read that when I get time. I'll read that when I get time. To the point where I don't even really, there are times when I go, I don't even have the time to reread the stuff I want to reread, let alone read the new stuff. But with you kind of cutting back, and, you know, you and I have talked, you'll probably jump onto Marvel Unlimited, which is, to my mind, the best way to read Marvel Comics now. Buying Marvel Comics when they come out. I'm sorry, Marvel, you've made it so it's so much easier for me as a reader and not a collector to just, oh yeah, I'll just read it here. And then the stuff that I really, really like, I'll buy in the omnibus form or, you know, a hardcover or whatever. What are some of the runs that have come out in the past that you want to either read or reread? You know, stuff where, okay, if I'm not going to be keeping up on Rebirth, instead I will have time for this. I've talked about how I'm rereading the Grant Morrison Batman and kind of just not reading it so, oh, I got to keep up, a new issue's coming out, but more reading it and enjoying it and savoring it. What are some of the runs of the past that you're looking at and going, yeah, I want to reread that?
See, that's a run that I never read, the Grant Morrison's Batman. I would love to get back in my collection the Grant Morrison JLA. I don't have those anymore. I don't have the I forget the creators. We call it the Bwahaha era of Justice League.
J.M.D. Matias and Keith Giffen.
Yep, absolutely love those. Don't have them. I even like towards the end of the run where not when they rejiggered the Justice League, but the whole thing that led to the collapse. Very dramatic storyline.
Breakdowns. It was called Breakdowns. It was a 13 or 14 parter.
Some of the things I do still have. I do have the Hickman run of Avengers up to Secret Wars. That might be something I might want to convert into trades and read them that way. Some of the things I already talked about. I don't have Prez's run. I don't have Teen Titans or Wonder Woman anymore. I don't have the new Avenger run that Bendis did. They're coming out in graphic novels, so Marvel must have been listening to me. Hey, let's get Ryder every month for the next couple months. I'm looking forward to the Alpha Flight. Sometimes I want to go back. Again, my first comic book was Amazing Spider-Man 178, and that run from when the third Green Goblin came around up to about issue 200, maybe including up to 203, which I think were the Punisher appearances and Dazzler. And then they went into a bunch of one-shot Drex up until he fought. And again, I didn't know because that was my golden age of comics. So for me, it was like, oh, this is so cool. But when I went and reread a few of them, I was like, oh, these are not good, until he got up to the point where he met Madame Web and fought the Juggernaut. Then they started getting good again. And there's runs of Spider-Man that I enjoyed, runs that I didn't. You know, I always try to pick up some of the McFarlane ones when I get a chance just to see what that looks like. I would love to get a hold of the Peter David run of Hulk again. I think I have his run on Star Trek, which I enjoyed. You know, there's just all sorts of little runs like that. Star Wars from the movie up until Empire Strikes Back, the whole Carmen Infantino run, which I just thought was fabulous. Anything like that for you, Corey, or do you pretty much still have it all in your collection?
Some of it I have, some of it I'm going to have to look for. And that's one of the reasons why when I go to shops, I look for packs. Because, oh, okay, here's a miniseries I never read, and I don't remember anything about it. If it's a creator that I kind of know, oh, okay, I'll pick that up. Especially from a lot of the secondary and tertiary publishers, where they would put out a mini series, and it would come and go so fast that you'd go, oh, well, what happened with that? One of the other things, I talked a little bit with it about you. You're talking about reading the Hickman Avengers run. I'm thinking of, I have started reading his entire run at Marvel, starting with his work on the Ultimates, over in the Ultimate Universe, because it came after Ultimatum, and after Ultimatum, I was like, ugh, I don't want to read any of this crap, but I kept reading the Bendis Spider-Man book because it was good. But Ultimatum left such a bad taste in my mouth that's like, I want nothing to do with these.
I must be the only person in the universe that enjoyed that story.
Not only are you the only person who enjoyed it, but Jeff Loeb has gone on record repeatedly apologizing for it.
You know, for me, it was like an anomaly because, first of all, it'll never happen in the Marvel Universe because you don't just kill off your characters. If anything, we've learned over time, killing off a character doesn't mean much because you could always bring him back. I'm still waiting for another Jean. Well, she's kind of back in a young X-Men form. I'm waiting for how they're going to bring Charles back eventually. Somebody is going to do it. Ever since Bucky came back, everybody's come back. I'm still trying to remember.
Uncle Ben didn't come back yet.
He came back in a Peter David story.
Yeah, but that was an alternate universe version, and he went home at the end of the story.
Did he? Because the last time I recall, he was still wandering around.
Nope, he was sent back.
You don't know. They could reset everything just because of the whole Reed Richards is trying to reset the universe thing. So, yeah, don't be so sure.
Uncle Ben is still dead.
I wouldn't mind finishing the Ultimate Spider-Man run.
And you realize Jean Grey has been dead now for longer than she was dead the first time.
Well, again, you know, we got a teenage one running around, so does that really count?
Yeah, it still counts because it's very different, and hopefully the adult Cyclops won't be trying to bone her.
And we did have the of Jean Grey from the future come back and try to muck things up. So the question I have, I've seen your vast accumulation of
comics.
Stuff. No, I'll just say stuff because you gotta. I mean, it's incredible. But whereas I'm thinking, okay, I'll take a run of. I'm just trying to find something here. Something sold on eBay. We'll find out later. What? Kaiju Max. You know, I may convert that to graphic novels and sell off. Do you have the problem where, hey, I want to read this run, I cannot find it, and I don't have it in book form?
Yes. And normally what I will do then is see if the library has it. And I'll check it out from the library. A lot of the Marvel Essentials, you know, but the last 3-4 years, they were reprinting stuff I already had. But hey, it's better to have in an Essential book because, oh, there's 25 issues in one big lump. I don't have to dig through boxes. But eventually, you know, the Essentials had to be put in boxes because there were so many of them. But with Marvel Unlimited on the Marvel end, it makes it very, very easy to, oh, yeah, I want to read Jack Kirby's Thor, this story. Boom, can read it right there. Right now, when we get to geeking, I'll talk about a couple miniseries that popped up on there that I read and went, oh, yeah, and then it went here, and then it went here, and then it went here. And I think that's one of the cool things about Marvel Unlimited, where you can just jump around in things. But with other stuff, it's I got to go to the library and get it there, or, you know, some other way. One of the things I've done is I will, at the shops that sell packs, it's like, oh, I know I have this, but it's in a box that's at the storage facility, and this is just $4. I'll go ahead, I'll buy it, I'll read it, and then I'll give it away to somebody, because if they're selling it at a comic shop for $4, it's not worth anything. They can't get rid of it, they haven't been able to get rid of it for 20 years, so I'll give it to someone who may want to read it. But a lot of what I do as a reader is I just want to read the stuff. And Marvel has made it very easy. DC's not made it easy because of their contractual obligations, and there's a lot of stuff from the 60s, 70s, and 80s that's never going to get put in a trade paperback.
And they also, every time they reboot their universe, it makes the older stuff irrelevant. So yeah. They're not, it goes out of print, no one's going to do it. I mean, I think back when I had Crazy Comics, I started reading what passed for the Teen Titans at the time, and it was fun, but then Zero Hour, what came around? Something came around. Was it Infinity Crisis?
Infinite Crisis for New Earth.
Yep, and it ended up being, you know, these books don't matter. I mean, I put them on the shelf, no one's going to care because nobody is going to read the current version. If you were reading current Titans and Rebirth, you're not going to go back and read these old versions. I mean, I'm reading the George Perez ones because that's the ones I grew up with. I don't have them anymore. I don't think they're collector versions, at least not the first couple ones, except you get to the ones where Robin quits or Flash leaves or whatever, first appearance of Terra, whatever. Those might have some heat on the back issue market, but nobody's collecting these anymore. And they're pandering, I think, to people like me who want to remember these, which is fine. I mean, I'm going to buy them.
But there's a whole run there.
And then Flashpoint, anything pre-Flashpoint, I can't believe anybody would want to buy.
There are a lot of retailers who talk about how they've got these runs of trade paperbacks that they'll probably never be able to get rid of. You know, the New 52 stuff. All those trade paperbacks are just sitting now because it's, oh, well, it's Rebirth.
Yeah.
And the stuff before Flashpoint. Does anybody really want to pick up the Checkmate run that Greg Rucka did? Probably just a few hardcore Greg Rucka fans. But if you're reading the DC Universe, it's, well, that was two reboots ago.
Two reboots ago. You're way out of it.
It's not just irrelevant, it's irrelevant squared.
Yeah.
Marvel at least doesn't say, oh yeah, that story never happened. Whereas DC, more and more, it's, that didn't happen. And then when they put out a trade paperback of it, they're shocked that it doesn't sell. Well, it's this sold really well 12, 14 years ago. Yeah, but that was before Infinite Crisis, Final Crisis, Flashpoint, and Rebirth. So everything in it's irrelevant.
Irrelevant! Irrelevant!
But there's a lot of stuff. I want to go back, and I want to actually sit down and read the Ultimate Universe, start to finish. I know that's a weird idea.
No, weirder than me. I'm doing it with the new, or not new universe, the Ultraverse. I'm still trying to get that collection together because I want to sit down and read the whole thing. Again, I think Marvel's left money on the table by not trying to figure out a way to get that going. I mean, hell, if they could untangle the web from Miracle Man / Marvel Man,
they
should be able to take care of this.
Did you notice what happened with Miracle Man? They finally get to the point where, all right, we're going to be printing the Neil Gaiman stuff, the new Neil Gaiman stuff you've never seen. That's on hold for an indefinite amount of time.
But have they said why?
No. They haven't said anything.
Could it be because neither of the creators have time or inclination to want to do it?
No idea. Because I'd always heard that issues 25, 26, and 27 were done already. So all they would have to do is print them, but nope.
Ooh, I sold something else.
And when you do sell something, we get a huge buzz on the microphone.
I know, ain't it great?
But, you know, they tried to bring back CrossGen. They even had some of the original creators. No one cared.
Well, Angela's a good one, too. I mean, that just kind of, you know, oh, she's here. Whatever.
I think for that stuff, and we're getting way off topic, but I think for a lot of that stuff, it's like, okay, we've got the character, and you all want it. No.
No, we don't.
The Ultraverse ended 22 years ago. CrossGen ended a decade ago. Angela hasn't been seen in print for, what, 20 years?
Well, she had a couple series. Never mind, they flopped.
Well, and at Marvel, they tried bringing her back, but she hadn't been seen in comics for 20 years. And I'm sorry, but that's 20 years ago. That means the person who was buying it who was 19 is 39 now.
39? That's almost dead.
And it's like when they bring back certain TV shows, or when they do... Here's the one that gets me. We're doing a sequel to this movie that came out 20 years ago. Look, I don't know how to break it to you kids, but nobody cares. They're showing the first one on basic cable to an audience of maybe 700,000 people. 700,000 people going to a movie theater isn't going to matter. You can't live on nostalgia. People want the new stuff.
There's a couple of hits currently on CBS of old stuff. You know, if you rejigger it, reboot it, it could work.
But you have to do some work on it. You know, Hawaii Five-0, nothing like the original series.
Very true.
Like the original series. I haven't watched the new MacGyver, but from what I hear, nothing like the original series either. And one of the things, if you go back and watch the original series, that a lot of these things, it's very much from its own time. My friend Tommy and I, every so often, we'll talk about 70s TV shows and just how terrible they looked and how cheap they were and how boring they were and how they had terrible scripts. We were talking about Starsky and Hutch, and the first thing is that the acting was, you know, high school caliber. The second is that the sets, you'd shut a door and the entire set would wobble. And the scripts were so bad, it's okay, we don't have much of a story, so here's a 5-minute car chase. Because, you know, there were only three channels, and whatever one... Yes, there's some gems back in the past. MASH, WKRP in Cincinnati. But for every one of those, there's 15 Hello Larry and Pink Lady and Jeff series floating around out there that no one cares.
Yeah, and that's a good analogy with comics, too. You know, how many comics are published? How many will people care about? I can go back... And someday, two things. First of all, I can think of all the old series that we all got hyped up about when we used to go to Cap City and Diamond Comics retailer shows. They would wine us. They would dine us. The whole Defiant line from Jim Shooter is a good example. I mean, he took us all onto the gambling boat in East St. Louis. I mean, that couldn't have been cheap. And who cares? You know, occasionally people will... think nostalgically about it because of, you know, Jim, well, when he was talking, he would talk about it. But even going back and when I look at some of the stuff that we pick up at Free Comic Book Day, how much of that is just nobody cares about it. Either it was for that month's or that year's big continuity events or big crossover, or it's for a series that just disappeared and vamoosed. Occasionally you'll get one that's curiosity, like when they did the unpublished Peanuts that Fangraphics did before. Now it's published because they ran the entire line. And for a while that book was going crazy, and now it's back down to mortal level. But just all these books that come out of Free Comic Book Day, and I look at them and I'm like, they don't exist anymore. The company's gone. You know, Radical was an example. They had that one Hercules series that came out that was pretty good. It became a really bad movie which starring The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. I haven't seen hide nor hair of the publisher since. It's like, well, they made their millions and they're gone.
And their big thing was that they were basically creating comics to create movies.
Yeah.
We're done playing in that field. Yeah. Now, Joe, you talked about you have your run of ROM, and everybody was, oh, why can't they bring ROM back? Why is it ROM back? ROM was one of the great comics ever. Why haven't they brought it back? You want to know why they haven't brought it back? ROM Revolution, number one, was 159th on the sales chart and sold 12,500 copies.
Well, it'd be interesting.
Let me repeat that number.
What if Marvel had gotten a hold of it? And what would they have done different?
By the way, ROM number 3 came out the same month, sold 12,000 copies.
Could they have made ROM more interesting because it actually had ties into the past?
Would they have wanted to because they don't own it?
That's, yeah, I'm just saying, would they
Why have? Would Marvel, hey, let's put Brian Michael Bendis.
Well, you didn't answer the question. The question is, if Marvel had brought it back, would it have been more interesting because it already has a past history?
I think if Marvel would have brought it back, it would have been who's the cheapest people we could put on it. Because, again, why would Marvel want to sink money into something they don't own? We've already heard about the Fantastic Four and X-Men, how they're being told by upper management, on the Fantastic Four at least, don't put money into that comic. We don't own it in the movie rights. On X-Men, that rumor's been going around forever, and they keep saying it's not true. But boy, they're not putting a lot of, not putting the big name talent on the X-Men either. Marvel's probably not going to work with anything they don't own anymore because they're owned by Disney. Disney will say, you're going to do our stuff, and you're going to do the stuff you own. This licensed stuff? Why? Let somebody else do that.
Well, the question is still, if they did, do you think it would work? Would Marvel have the ability to go, hey, guys, this is a character from the past. Here's why it's relevant. Would they be able to tap into their own nostalgia, their own back catalog? Or do you think they would run against the, nothing that happened in the last 10 years matters?
I think
or if
run
it's
up,
over 10 years, it won't matter.
I think they will run up against the fact that the character hasn't been seen in comics for 30 years. And the only people who would be interested are people 50 and over.
Who seem to be the only ones buying the comics, other than like Ms. Marvel or niche.
Right. No. A lot of comic fans are in their 20s and 30s still. The average is still, early 30s. So if ROM comes
so
out,
the
most
question
of them
is,
were 1 or 2 years
old.
Could
you make it work? Considering when they had Annihilation Wave, they still had the Space Knights and the greatest of them all. Considering we just had Venom Space Knight, they're still trying to mine the Space Knight. So maybe it's not as foreign a concept as you would think.
It's not as foreign a concept, but no one cares. Venom Space Knight.
I don't know. Annihilation rode quite a long way before it petered out. They pulled all sorts of vast things together from their history that nobody, I don't know, I would could say nobody really cared about like you, but they wove it into a good story. I think if you, and again, Marvel probably wouldn't, but if you find the right team to do it, you could make it interesting, especially since you have the whole Dire Wraith War tied into the Skrulls. They tried to attack Earth. They bamboozled Galactus. I mean, they ran into the X-Men. Hybrid's still around. I mean, you could take all that and somehow wind it into a story that people would care about. Or you might go six issues like Red Wolf and disappear.
I think one of the things to point out, though, is that the Annihilation books were not big sellers until the Guardians of the Galaxy movie. They did not do that well. They were midline at best. And then once the Guardians of the Galaxy movie came out, it's, oh, shit, let's put Brian Michael Bendis on it so it'll sell. And they flooded the market, of course, because none of these solo books have taken off, and Guardians themselves isn't selling the greatest. But you got to remember, Guardians of the Galaxy was canceled with issue 25 when they did the Annihilation series. Nostalgia doesn't drive stuff, and we go round and round and round on this. Do I think there are so many barriers that would have got in the way of ROM that if they didn't have a long-term plan of, okay, we're going to start building it up in these books and make it into a huge crossover event, if they would have done like they did in the 70s and just dumped it on the market, 6 issues and done.
Now you sound like a pro wrestler, somebody booking pro wrestling, Can you bring back Goldberg from how many years ago? Would he be relevant? Well, I think if you introduce him right, and if you make it matter.
He doesn't fall down throwing his first kick on TV.
And if you make it matter, I think part of it, too, is the right to the graphic novel problem, where you have, okay, I'm not going to make a long-term plan and make a ROM book relevant in the Marvel Universe. You could very well do it, but that's not the mentality they have. It's like you said, stick it to the wall. If it sticks, great. If not, it's gone.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really too bad, because that's why you have all these characters just languishing. And I think we'll see books coming out that, yeah, we're going to have Red Wolf for a while. Why? Well, because if we don't, we're going to lose the copyright. We don't want to do the champion thing again.
And somebody threw out a good idea, and it didn't hit the market.
But they didn't build it up. It used to be, in again, runs that I remember, you know, Rocket Raccoon showed up in Hulk. And people are like, hey, this is kind of cool. And then they put him out in his own series. You know, things would flow organically. Or before everybody got all wound up about Thunderbolts. Well, Thunderbolts showed up and walloped Hulk for a couple issues. And then went into another one.
Thor.
Was it Thor?
They were in Thor. Because those... It was Thor, I think, either 411 or 412, because there for about a year or so, that was a wall book. Mm-hmm. You had that baby on the wall at $20.
Yeah, first appearance. Again, you make an excitement, whereas now, you know, and we've complained about this before, if I get the Marvel previews and I'm like, it's easier just to skip unless I see a name I really like. And truth be told, one of the things I'm dropping Guardians for is because all of a sudden they split into four, count them, series for the duration of them hanging on Earth. And I'm like, you know what? I think I'm checking out. Maybe I'll check back in again. But it's just too much.
And the other big thing about it is there's too many comics being published. They're publishing more comics than at the peak of the boom in the 90s. I forget how many Marvel's publishing, like 90 comics in the month of January. 90 comics in January. Now, if they're all $4 each,
That's like a whole paycheck. I mean, I laugh that Disney gets half my money. If the AT&T thing goes through, they're going to get the other 40%, WWE will get the last 10. But
if you were to, let's just say all the Marvel books are $4 each. They aren't all $4 each. Some of them are $5, some of them are $7.99, depending on the format and everything. And you're going to buy one of each. $360. DC, they're $2.99. Yeah, but they're publishing 60 to 70 books a month. IDW's publishing 40 to 50 books a month. Boom is publishing 30 books a month. Dynamite is publishing 30 books a month. Dark Horse is publishing 40 to 50 books a month. Image is publishing 90 books a month. It's too much, and I can see why people are just saying, oh my God. And I remember at your shop, the vast majority of people were buying 5 to 6 books a week. Because they wanted to keep it under $20 a week. And now if they were trying to keep it under $20 a week, they'd buy 4 comics and that's it. Maybe 5.
And that comes to a complaint that I haven't really talked about in ages. You know, I spend $200-$300 a month buying these comics for a 20-minute read. And then I'm like, why? What? I just spent $300, you know. It's still $30 to fill my gas tank. I can't justify spending that amount of money, especially just for one-shots. And I don't have the collector mentality. Some days, especially as I go through my stuff, I think if I still had that mentality, it would be fun. You know, thinking, okay, I actually have these copies, or I got all 25 variant covers of Jughead number 10, you know, or whatever.
Or all of the, what's the new Avengers book that's going to have one for each state?
Oh, yeah, I saw that. That worked good for JLA,
didn't
it?
I got all 50 of them.
I actually started for a while thinking if I go to different shops as I traveled about, I would pick up a comic from the state I had bought it in. And that worked until I got to Hawaii and they didn't have any. So
those bastards.
Just, I'm telling you.
They're not patriotic. That's what it is. They're not real Americans.
No.
You know who are real Americans, Joe?
Hulk Hogan?
No.
Oh.
These guys, our sponsors.
This here podcast is sponsored by DreamHost.com. DreamHost.com is the best bar none web host in the whole known universe. I know because I've been using it for over 12 years. Anytime I've had a problem, they've been able to help me fix it. And let's face it, I'm not that bright when it comes to fixing crap that's wrong on my computer or anybody else's computer or the internet. DreamHost.com. They have a discount. That's right. If you go to DreamHost.com, put in the code CRAZY, you get $20 off your first year of web hosting. Now, the beautiful thing about DreamHost.com is you can set up whatever you want. They have downloadable software for you to set up a WordPress blog, like we use for the podcast. You can also use a WordPress blog to start a web strip, to start a blog, to do any sort of thing you want. If you want to do a you want to do a store, they have software for that, and they will help you get it set up. DreamHost.com, the best damn web host in the whole known universe.
How's that for crowbarring it in there?
That's very well crowbarred.
Thank you. And after we do the ads, we do the, Joe, what's going on the eBays?
Well, as I was talking, I spent a lot of time today, and as I said, when I'm homesick, I tend to start working eBay, dig a little deeper. And I got about halfway through the pile I was going to put on eBay, and then I stopped and I gave Corey a call. Said, hey, let's do some podcasting here, which is always good. But I thought I'd talk to Corey about a couple books to see if he remembers these.
Ooh, so this is a big Ask the Strode.
This is Ask the Strode, yes. And these are comics that I actually have up on the eBays, KRAYZ. So if you want to go get them, hopefully they haven't sold before you got a chance to get your piece of the action. Corey, tell me about superheroes.
Is this the one from the 60s?
Yes.
Wasn't that from Dell? And it was attempting to get the copyright on the word superheroes. I don't remember much about the comic, just the legal stuff. They were attempting to get the copyright on superheroes. And it kind of turned into a little fight. And at the end of it, Dell was gone. And Marvel and DC have an agreement where they both own the copyright on the phrase superhero. However, they aren't really enforcing it because there are comics that come out with the new superhero from Image.
And my guess would be is if they tried, that would probably... I mean, you got to remember, you're fighting Time Warner, soon to be AT&T or Disney. So I don't think anybody deciding to fight them would win, but
it could also turn, much like how Xerox protects the word Xerox, Marvel and DC have not been protecting the word superhero. They haven't sued anybody or stopped anybody or anything, so I could see somebody taking them to court and the judge going, no, it's a generic term now.
Superheroes, by the way, was a Dell comic, published 1967, 4 issues, and it contained the Fab Four. No, not the Beatles. These were 3 males and a female.
What?
Yeah, some with the more unfortunate names in all of superhero comics. Led
four characters, 3 males and a female.
And L, who could fire laser.
Fab Four.
Polly, named as such because she's heat resistant like polymer. And the other two were called High and Crispy.
So Crispy.
High could do high pitch sonic blasts, and Crispy could control cold temperatures. All 4 heroes were androids created with the minds of 4 visiting children accidentally transferred into robotic display statues in the future room of the fictional Dell Hall of Heroes. It's a campy series, lasted 4 issues and canceled. So you can check it out if you want. Okay, number 2. Corey, tell me about Linda Lark, Student Nurse.
That was one of the Marvel books. Actually started when it was Atlas. Wasn't an Atlas book?
No, it's Pachytel.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Marvel had a ton of those. But
hang on a second. There was a second series. Let me take a look here. Maybe I hit a premature buzzer.
No, I might be wrong.
The Linda Lark I was looking at was from Dell, a 8-issue series, kind of somewhere labeled Nurse Linda Lark, but most of them were kind of like a romance in the hospital type thing.
Marvel must have had a couple knockoffs of that, though, because I know they had all sorts of those in the 50s. That's where Patsy Walker came from. It's where...
Linda Carter.
Linda Carter.
Not to be confused with Wonder Woman.
Nope, Linda Carter, student nurse. Okay. Marvel, how dare you?
I know, and theirs went only 9 issues.
Theirs lasted longer than Dell's. The knockoff lasts longer.
The final Ask the Strode. Corey, tell me about the nurses.
Wasn't that a rated R movie in the 70s?
It might have been. It was also a soap opera type series in the 60s.
Oh, okay.
And Gold Key in 63 did 3 issues with photo covers.
I have to look up, because there was in the 70s, and don't ask me how I know this, because I can't tell you how I know this. There was a subgenre of male fiction about nurses wanting to bone the patients, where it was, you know, sexy nurses.
Kind of like airline stewardesses.
Yes, there was a run of books about airline stewardesses and nurses. And let me see here, movie.
While he's doing that, I will explain the beeps we heard earlier were, in fact, things that were selling on the eBays while we're sitting here podcasting. In this case, I sold a couple things. I sold a Spawn Wildcats 1-4 series. It was done in 96 by Image. Alan Moore was the writer. I sold an emergency Carlton magazine, number 1, that came out in 1976, emergency based off the firefighting TV show. And that actually had Neil Adams art in it. And at the same time, I sold Walt Disney Treasures, The Complete Pluto, Volume 1 DVD set, which are one of those tin sets that Disney spit out real fast in the 2000s, and they went out of print. And some of them go for outrageously silly money. Not this one, though, although I did get $50 for it, so I can't complain, really.
Let's see. The Student Nurses, an exploitation film.
Sorry.
The Student Nurses. Let's see. You go ahead. I'm going to read up.
I'm done. I was just going to say, you know, again, if you do buy something off the eBays, such as our poor suffering friend who's waiting for the Glamour Puss for me to find, and I will, when we get to geeking, I'll talk to you about that. KRAYZ, let me know you're a listener of this here show. And I'll grab something off my vast accumulation of crap and put it in it for free. Maybe I'll ship it to you for free. Who knows? We might. I got a lot of stuff to give.
Let's see. When revisiting this films, it becomes apparent that the edginess that Tarantino and Rodriguez were hoping to recapture comes less from the nudity and violence in and of itself, but the countercultural values that underpin their use. These are movies brought to you by Free Love, with all of the attendant problems and sexism that comes with it. You get a little labor history with your Barbara Hershey sex scenes.
Woohoo!
Likewise, let's see.
Come on, baby, vote union, vote union.
It would be foolish to argue that this sort of libertine milieu in any way excuses all of the gratuitous shots of bare breasts, or to say that every instance of them struck a blow against the puritanical. Instead, it's more useful to think of these directors and writers as working within a system that at times could be as restrictive an assembly line as classical Hollywood's.
Yes, and she finally embraces
nurse movies.
Very interesting places. What?
There were stewardess movies and nurse movies and It was a whole little weird subgenre.
And we are ashamed for knowing that you know that. We're ashamed for you.
In the 80s, when I was in college, I actually, in one of my film classes, studied the exploitation film distribution networks.
Because we all know about college professors and their students.
Because I always thought it was weird that these movies would just kind of pop up somewhere for a week. They wouldn't have ads on TV. They wouldn't have ads on the radio. They would just, you know, like Alice's Erotic Adventures in Wonderland. And it would be playing at the Canton Movie Theater for a week and then be gone. And you would never hear anything about it. So in the 80s, it's a lot of these.
Well,
in the 60s and 70s, you'd have these little tiny, I don't even want to call them film companies, but you'd have these movie makers. They'd make these movies with plenty of sex, and they'd just throw them in their car. They'd have the movie in their car, and they'd show up at a theater, usually a drive-in, but sometimes a different theater. They'd go, tell you what, we run this movie, you keep half the gate, I keep half the gate. And it'd run at the theater for a week, and then they'd put it in the car and drive on to the next small town. It was weird, and you're never going to see anything like that again, ever.
I'd have felt better if you just said, yeah, I'm a pervert, get over it.
But I haven't watched many of them.
Oh, he studied them, folks. He didn't watch them. He studied them.
No, I
You know, I think I'm going to go to Pornhub and study.
No, I, like the student nurses, I know about the movie. Never seen it. No. There's a movie distribution thing online, Something Weird Video, where they've pretty much gathered up as many of these as
girls who do guys, who do guys, who do girls, who do girls, who like guys, who dress girls.
So if you're interested in those movies and want to actually watch them, Something Weird Video. And now that we're done with the eBay and going off on another rabbit trail, we come to my favorite part of the show. No, not talking about gravy candy.
Ooh, gravy, gravy, gravy. Ooh, you add water. It tastes just like... Never mind.
Freaking and geeking, Joe. What are you freaking on?
I'm sick. Oh, and it's not that
we
I'm sick.
We don't need the details.
Now I know when I go back to work, I'm going to have to... Hey, Joe, we understand you took 2 sick days in 2 weeks. What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
Undercooked beef? I'm not sure what the problem was. So...
It was either bad meat or good cheese.
Oh, so I'm not looking forward to that. But other than that, I just, you know, I've got to the point where, like, if seriously, this has been the longest I've been able to sit in one place for the last, like, 8 hours, if you get my drift, without drifting more. So I'm just, I don't know. Not feeling good. But on the plus side, I get some more eBay and done. That's really, well, that, and I really can't. I haven't found that damn glamour puss. Where is my glamour puss? Which, you know, as I shout, as I'm walking through the basement, and my wife says, would you shut up? The neighbors can hear you. So, I'm looking.
You do a lot of things that she's not a big fan of.
I am promising I'm looking. But we'll talk more when we get to geeking. Corey, what are you freaking on?
Well, the new computer, boy, it sure takes a long time to set everything up. It was downloading updates all the way through till Thursday.
Uploading down dates?
And today I had the first chance to start sitting down and doing stuff to get it to where I want it to be.
Playing solitaire.
No, it's downloading this and relearning how to upload FTP files, because one of the things I do, I'm not that bright, so I automate as much as I can. So rather than remembering all the things I knew need to do to upload the podcast, it's, oh, here's this software. I put this into the software, hit save, and I never have to think of it ever again. Well, I had to go and think of it again. So that took about a half hour. And you know, all of the tweaking for that. Work has been terrible. I talked in the last podcast about how I had screw-ups at both jobs. Well, in both of them, I get... had to sit down in a room and be talked to and told not to do it again, and it makes me feel miserable. But it's also been insanely busy at the full-time job because we're in our busy season to the point where we're supposed to, and I talked about it a little last time, we're supposed to log all our time. I've had 10-hour days, and I'm billing for 12 to 14 hours. Woo! I'm a productivity machine. And I've been able to sleep in my bed most of the time at the group home, but one of the people who has been picking up those overnight shifts has found a full-time job. Another person who's been picking up those overnight shifts is moving to Green Bay. And another person who's been doing full-time shifts for about 3 years is constantly talking about quitting. One of the new people who does overnight shifts, who's only been there for 6 months, he's constantly talking about quitting. So, like I said, I may not have to pay a whole lot in my heat bill because I'll be sleeping at the group home and can turn the heat down to minimal. Or at the
job
house.
Security.
Yes. Job security. One of the things that has been kind of bugging me, all of the comedy shows about news are not funny this week. They're all treating it like it's a new 9/11. Look, I'm unhappy about the election too. But when I tune in to see Stephen Colbert or I tune in to see The Daily Show, I don't want them going, everything's terrible. It's the end of the world. No, your job is find out what's going on, make jokes about it, okay? There's more than enough stuff to make fun about with the people who lost, the people who won, what's going on. When I tune into Stephen Colbert and he's kind of sitting at his desk moping, that's an easy way for me to, oh, well, something else is going to be on. It's like, to bring it back to comics, Joe, one of the things that I've always said is Spider-Man, I didn't mind the Brand New Day. I didn't mind it. What really made me mad was when I picked up an issue of Spider-Man and he killed and ate a guy's head.
Yum.
You gotta do what people tune in for you to do. It would be like if I tuned in to The Walking Dead and all of a sudden it became a sitcom. No, don't do that. And comic-wise, I have not had a whole lot of time to read a lot of stuff I wanted to, but the stuff I have, we'll talk about in geeking. Joe, what are you geeking on?
Well, I was able to finagle me a chunk of time off from work.
What?
I know.
Oh, by calling in sick.
The week? Well, no, this one actually is legit vacation time because last year I took myself off the week of Thanksgiving. So I was supposed to be off the 20th or the 26th. And when they rebid, my schedule shifted a little bit. So instead of having Sunday, Monday, Tuesday off, I have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday off. I work 10-hour days, which is why they let me have 3 days off a week, which is kind of cool. So they rejigger it. They cancel my Wednesday leave, but they didn't re-put it on the 20th, which they should have, which isn't a big deal. So what I did is I asked for the 27th off. So then I would have me Monday the 21st through Wednesday the 30th off, a nice 10-day chunk of time off. And they approved it. So I'm like, cool. That's when I will find the glamour puss. So one way or another, I'm going to put every single frickin' box I own. You're talking about maybe 50, 60 comic boxes. I'm going to lay them across the basement floor, which I don't normally do because I'm worried about, like, if there's a lot of flooding going on. But we don't have that in the forecast. Rip the lids off these suckers and try to get it all organized. And, you know, that's when I always find fun stuff. Like, we were talking about the nurses and Linda Lark and all that cool stuff. And so I'm looking forward to doing that. We're going to have Thanksgiving, so we're going to, I guess my wife, already knowing I have time off, is already planning my time for me. So.
Well, that's good. Somebody needs to.
I noticed I didn't make that a freaking, but it's just, whatever. Usually I help, she cooks, and I clean, and that's the main thing. I also got to cut the damn turkey, but That always bothered me because that's always what my grandpa used to do, you know, and now I got to cook it. Basically, I just hack at it with a power knife until enough chunks fall off that people are sick. Kind of like John Belushi, Samurai, you know.
Hi, Kiba.
Speaking of geeking, a couple books that I read that I enjoyed. Again, Xander Cannon, KJ Max, Season 2, Number 5. I'm enjoying the heck out of that one. I say this with a mini freaking. I'm loving Jughead. That's actually a line of comics I may keep buying, the Archie line, because I just enjoy it. You know, if they come out in graphic novel form, maybe, but I don't mind picking them up. I can see myself rereading these. But the thing with Jughead, again, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, one of my heartthrobs, is back. But my copy has rips through the entire mother thing. You know, and these are basically, you wouldn't have noticed these from the outside because the cover's fine. So these are what I would always call hidden damage. And it's annoying because, you know, I've had these for 3 weeks. There's no way I can return them. And I'm not really big on condition, but it is annoying, you know, when you get something like that that's damaged. I mean, Jughead 10 goes up to hundreds of thousands of dollars. Mine's not going to be worth crap. On the edge of comics that I am enjoying, but I probably will drop, I read the first issue of Infamous Iron Man, and while I enjoy the story, I really don't like the art. And this is one of those that I will probably go to issue 6 and... it's not on the hit list yet, although it might be. Same thing with Battlestar Galactica from Dynamite. Oh, man, the art is horrible. Everybody's cross-eyed in it. But the story's good, and again, this one just will end on its own, I think, before it comes back. And when it does come back, I probably won't even bother. In terms of graphic novels, I've read and really gotten a kick out of. I got the Marvel Universe According to Hembeck. You know me, I'm a big Hembeck fan, and this one reprints, I think, 90% of his stuff, if not all of it. I don't know how many Marvel Tales. Actually, I don't know. Maybe he did all the Marvel Tales. He said there were a few that they didn't do, but they even do his first serious work. Let's see. Let's throw in a quick ask the Strode. Corey, what was Fred Hembeck's first serious work and only serious work that he did for Marvel?
Didn't he do a flashback issue of Spider-Man?
No, that was actually Peter Parker during Assistant Editor Month.
Oh,
and
no.
He drew it in his style.
Right. I remember that. But I thought he did one of the flashback issues in the late 90s.
He did, but he did that also in his unique style.
Okay.
But the question is, where did he do it as tried to do it as a serious artist?
See, I think I remember he had a story in the Marvel Superheroes thing, but he just wrote it. So I don't remember offhand what serious story he drew.
Yeah, no, actually, you're close. It was Marvel Superheroes Spring Special, number one. He did a Brother Voodoo story that
of
he
course.
Did the pencils. Scott Lodell wrote it, although Fred did a lot of the heavy work. He said he kind of plotted it out, but he said Scott was the one to help whip it into an actual script. And not a bad story, but he said after he did that, he realized he's just going to stick with his squiggly. And then, of course, he came out with Petey, The Adventures of Peter Parker Before He Became Spider-Man.
Which, so, I love those. Those are so much fun.
Absolutely. This is a fun book. If you like Hembeck, if you like Marvel, definitely pick it up. Worth reading. Speaking of runs of stuff that I don't have in my collection, but I have now, and I just got it because I bought it off of eBay, and I read the whole damn thing last night. I mean, you literally got it out of my box, sat down, and just, much to annoyance my wife, left the light on and read the entire thing. Daredevil, Born Again, Frank Miller, and David, big M word with Z's and C's and L's. Oh, what a fantastic story. If they don't take this and make this a series of like a whole season of Daredevil on Netflix. They're just not paying attention. I mean, you remember the series, Corey, Born Again? You must.
Yeah.
I just, when they get to the page, and I've talked about it in the past, where, you know, Hell's Kitchen is burning, and...
nice work, Kingpin. You sure have signed it.
A soldier with a voice that could command a god, and he does, and there's a shot up, and there's Thorin's silhouette. And then Iron Man, basically Daredevil, that man is ours. Stand back. There's a soft hum as computer circuitry generates enough power to level a building and holds it waiting. Not being stupid, Matt backs away. This is all, I think, Hurick talking, the reporter.
Yep.
I could just see this. I mean, if you could get Chris Evans to do Captain America in the series, that'd be fantastic. You wouldn't even need to... Wait, did I say that right?
Yeah.
Which one does Thor?
I don't remember the actor's name.
You wouldn't even need to have him. You could just do a silhouette of any Thor. And as for Iron Man, CGI or a guy in costume, if you could get Robert Downey Jr., just give us the voice. We don't have to have your picture. Oh, that would be such a killer scene. I mean, I hope they do it. And that would cement the two universes together really well. Look at him. I'm geeking already.
That's not my favorite scene in Born Again, though.
What is?
My favorite scene that I gave the quote. It was a nice piece of work, Kingpin, that you shouldn't have signed it.
Oh, and he blows up his home.
That is the turnaround point. That is where you... And that was the last panel of that issue. And I was reading it at the time as it was coming out. And each issue came out, it's like, oh, man, it can't get any worse. And then it did. And then with that, it's like... Oh, man, next issue is going to be awesome. And it is that, it's the thing that I think a lot of people forget when they're doing a story. You bring the character down to the point where all hope is lost, but you have to give that turn of, oh, now it's going to get better. Now the hero's going to turn it around. Now they're going to do this. Too many times when you do the melodramatic stuff, and Chris Claremont really fell into this, where it's things get bad, and then they 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 get bad. You have to have the moment where the heroes turn it around and triumph. If you don't have that, it's just a constant series of down notes. It's why Empire Strike Back feels the way it does, and you have to watch Return of the Jedi right after. Because it's like your heroes are beaten down. They've lost everything. Everything's terrible. Nope. The heroes have to figure out a way and save the day. But when it's down, 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 over and over and over and over and over, eventually the audience is going to go, well, who cares? Screw it. So you've got to have that moment of, you shouldn't have signed it.
I got a copy of Berkeley Works, an art of...
finally!
Berkeley Breathed from Bloom County and Beyond. This is the second print, and every time you order one, he puts a little autograph in it. So I got a nice picture to me of Opus. So that's kind of fun. I can't wait to crack into that. You know, again, I'm trying to, you know, get out of debt, and I'm trying to, you know, get rid of stuff, and here I go buy myself a signed $100 hardcover. So that was shipping. Course.
Don't let the wife know.
If you're looking for some fun stuff online, there's a whole series of memes with Biden in it, you know, where it's like, here's a picture of Obama. He's got his hand on Biden's back. They're walking away from the camera, and Biden's going, I'm going to punch him when he comes in here. Obama, no, Joe, don't do that. Punch him around the back, Joe. Kick them. And they're just going cool. I mean, it's just... I need some humor, and this was just a good runabout, you know. And if you can find these memes that they're putting up there, check them out. It's just fun humor. So, and just remember, our country's a lot stronger than you think. And I find your lack of faith in your country disturbing.
Right now, we're living through Empire Strikes Back.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I got a lot of friends who are like, you know, they're like, oh my God, our nightmare's over. I said, what are you talking about? Relax. We survived Bush. He survived Obama. We'll survive. Jeez. That's really all I'm geeking on. Corey, what are you geeking on?
Another American food. I hold in my hand, Joe. Doritos Roulette. Do you know what Doritos Roulette is?
Is that you don't know what you're going to eat until you bite it?
Nope, it's one out of every six chips is ultra hot. So you take a bite and, it's regular Doritos. Oh my God, I need to drink an entire gallon of milk. They had them before and I could never find them. I went to the gas station on my way to one of my overnights to get soda for the morning, and there they had a whole display of them. So I now have Doritos Roulette.
Yum.
We may have to play Doritos Roulette when next we hang out.
I played roulette with those Harry Potter beans. And my poor cousin got the vomit one, and he spit and didn't realize his window wasn't down. So, I mean, I got things like grass. I didn't get the poor guy. First one he did was the earwax, and then he gets the vomit. He's like, I'm not playing this game anymore. Baby.
I went to the largest candy store in Minnesota, loaded up on some cool stuff, got some wonderful saltwater taffy. Flavors that I enjoy that they don't really put in stores. Banana, banana split, pina colada, key lime. I'm not one of these people who, I just want the vanilla and the chocolate and the strawberry. No.
Say that again. That was funny.
I like the weirder flavors. I always have. And
but not too weird.
I like the weird stuff. I like them weird, Joe. You know that.
All right, and, folks, I'm going to grab that soundbite, and I'm going to put that all over Solo Joe. As I got one more geeking for you, but we'll save it for the end.
And while I've had this weekend kind of off, I really don't feel like I got a lot done because I love naps. Oh, my God, do I love naps.
Oh, so you got an area in your house where it's sunny, and when the sun hits, it's just warm, and you're just like, okay, I'm gone.
And, you know, with the number of hours that I work, and the sleep I get at the group home, not the best sleep in the world, if I could get a day off, it's like, okay, yeah, my brain is programmed. I get up at 5:30, between 5:30 and 6, no matter what. I'll just come out. I'll lay on the couch. I'll turn on, like, Colbert from the night before or something else. Just kind of half drift in and out, maybe fall asleep. Wake up a few hours later. Oh, my God, that's the best morning in the world. Comic-wise, I started reading the Hickman stuff from the beginning. And as I said, it's Ultimates, which I have never read. I have never read his run on the Ultimates because I tapped out after Ultimatum. And I'm only about three issues in. And he's throwing, again, it's just like when he does this stuff in the Marvel Universe. He's throwing tons of ideas in there that just, oh, wow, oh, cool, oh, neat. Too bad they never got to play with this. But if you're watching it, there are all these little things they've dropped in that, oh, wow, that's leading up to Secret Wars. Especially how he's dropping hints about the Ultimate Universe Reed Richards. So I don't know how much of it he had planned or if it was a lot like Steve Gerber where he just sort of threw out ideas to see what would hit. But he did say that when he started the Fantastic Four, he had the idea for Secret Wars in his head already. And I'm also, went and grabbed my copy of Gotham Central. I have the Gotham Central Omnibus. I got it a while back. I am reading it slowly, just marinating in it and enjoying that run. If you have not read that run, it's a story of cops in Gotham City without the superhero stuff. They're dealing with the superhero things. And then the last thing is I'm all caught up on the Walking Dead comic, and they're in the middle of the Whisper War, and it's only six issues, and fourth issue just dropped, and I'm reading it going, they're not going to be able to wrap this up in two issues unless really bad things happen. So excited about Walking Dead. The comic is still really good, still worth reading. And Filmstruck started this week. I have not downloaded it yet. But Joe, have I talked about Filmstruck on the podcast?
No.
Filmstruck is a new streaming service put together by Turner Classic Movies and Criterion Films. And if you sign up for the basic, you get the Turner Classic Movies stuff. You sign up for the second tier, you have access to everything Criterion has the rights to with the Criterion special stuff. So you can watch it on your TV streaming with the special commentary, with all the extras, with the documentaries, with all of that stuff. And it's $99 a year. So it's not this weekend, but next weekend I have time off. Yeah, I'm gonna be signing up for that bad boy.
He's busy. Don't bother.
Don't bother me, kid. I'm busy.
The Strode compound is closed until further notice.
Well, it's always closed. Don't come visit it. Don't. I'm like Georgia O'Keeffe. I don't come to the door. remember, I taught my son: if somebody knocks on your door, don't answer it because they might be a Jehovah's Witness.
Or it could be a pit bull Jehovah Witness. Mind if I chew on your leg while I talk to you? Read the Watchtower to you?
And Joe, you said you had final geeking.
I do. Now that we have recorded this here podcast early, I will spend the time we normally podcast and try to get Solo Joe up. The part one of the conversation I had with my heterosexual life partner and business partner, Pat.
What about Doctor Who tomorrow night?
Well, you hadn't said nothing. I wasn't sure if we were doing.
No, I let you know I can't go.
Oh, okay. Then I don't care. I'm gonna do some podcasting.
Okay.
Of my own. So I figured I'll try to get that to drop before Thanksgiving, and then the second part is kind of a jumbled mess because it kept stopping all the time, and I'll try to weave that together on and try to get that after Thanksgiving. So I will have reached my goal of my monthly. A Solo Joe podcast actually coming out four times in 2016. Gotta have a goals, baby.
One other piece of news I want to throw out there. Joe?
You're throwing me out? I thought we worked so well together.
One of the people has been going through all of the websites that Disney owns. One of them that Disney owns. You ready?
Okay.
MuppetFucker.net. And I will leave on that note. Believe it or not, kids, you've listened to us blather on about funny books for an hour and a half. And as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most. Joe?
I got nothing. Hit my music.
Just say